Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. Dr. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Bill is a long-time member of our Brain Trust, and actually next May will be 10. We'll celebrate his 10-year anniversary with us. And he's the chief economist for the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business, professor of economics at Temple University. At one point in time, years ago, before he finally let somebody else manage those problems, he was the head of the whole business school over there at Temple, and now he's just shepherding his students and shepherding us business owners with his outstanding work. Every month he surveys small business owners to find out what's going on out there in the economy according to them, and he compiles it into a report, and we are one of the beneficiaries of that report. He's our good friend, Bill Dunkelberg. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, always good to be with you.
It's good to have you back. Thank you for so much for being here, for being part of what we do, and for contributing so much to us. Bill, I wish that you had better news. I know you do too, but there was a little bit of an upturn in the fall in small business optimism, but it's kind of softened a little bit, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, it kind of faltered, didn't it? We had then, and basically it was, uncertainty about the future for business conditions. We just can't figure out whether the economy is going to get better enough to get us to go out and hire anybody or buy a new truck or a new piece of equipment or expand our business. It looks so bad out there. We just are unhappy, and that's really what caused the downturn in the index. It was less than a point, but usually at this, once we've kind of statistically passed the bottom, which we did sometime in the end of the third quarter.
Yeah.
Business optimism usually soars because there are all these now opportunities. The recession's over. There's a lot of growth potential and so on, and we're not seeing it this time.
Well, Bill, I think that Americans, especially those of us on Main Street, especially, more particularly, small businesses, we're such pathological optimists. We want to be positive. We want to make something happen so much. I actually think that maybe some of the things that happened this fall was there was so much pent-up demand for, not for goods and services, but for the need to be optimistic. I actually think that might have entered into it a little bit. We saw a little bit of easing. We saw a little bit of an improvement, and we sort of ran with it just a little bit. And now I think the bloom may be off that rose a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah, it could be. If you go back to the 1980 to 82 period, which was until this recession the worst we had had, post-war, the index only fell below the 90 reading, where 100 is kind of the average for 35 years. It only fell below 90 for one quarter. We've had four or five quarters now, so we've a year and a half we've been below 90.
Yeah.
That's not good.
I know. Bill, let me ask you a question. I'm just curious. Do you consider the period in the mid-70s, that recession, to be worse than the one in the early 80s or vice versa?
I know a little bit less than that, less about that one than I do the 80-82 period, because we didn't start the surveys until the third.
But in terms
of
as an account for yourself, not so much from your report, but for yourself.
I think it's a good question. I think probably 80-82 was really worse.
Because of interest rates and inflation?
Yeah, the inflation and the interest rates. And, of course, it was a strange period, too, because we weren't in recession the whole time. Officially, the National Bureau of Economic Research said we had two recessions in that period.
81 and 83.
Yeah, we had a relief rally in the middle, which we didn't get this time. We had 24 bad news months here in this recession with no bounce in the middle to make us feel better and help us out a little bit. So I still think 80-82 was probably tougher. We certainly had more extremes, as you point out, on inflation and interest rates, and you know, it was a scary period.
Right. Where I think this one's going to differentiate itself from others is the fact that we've had a financial collapse more than an asset collapse. What do you think?
Well, it is true that if you look at the unemployment numbers relative to the size of the labor force, then this recession isn't as bad as 1980-82 or 74-5. So
right.
In that sense, kind of out on the street, the employment situation, as bad as it sounds,
mm-hmm.
is not as bad as those two past recessions.
But that's cold comfort if you lost a job, if you've lost a job, or if a bunch of your customers have lost a job.
Right.
Job.
If you're one of those new 7 million unemployed
yeah.
over the last 24 months,
yeah.
not a happy time.
Right. Stand by. Quick break. Stay with us. 22.
Everybody's blue when they lonesome. Everybody.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for going there, too, using that to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there, and check out my blog, and you can read, you can listen, you can ask questions. You got 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between on any topic under the small business sun. We got something you can use and find there to help you with your business, including the body of work that Dr. Bill Dunkelberg has given us over the years. He's chief economist with the NFIB. Oh, by the way, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame, and we'll be putting up this interview that we have with Bill up on Twitter a little bit later on too. That's kind of what we do when we post to Twitter. We just tell the folks who follow us what we've been doing these days. Bill, Bill's survey, folks, is the NFIB survey of small business conditions, Bill's been doing this now since '73, right, Bill?
Right. Yep, that was when we started these, the basic small business economic trends survey.
Amazing body of work, ladies and gentlemen, that Bill has put out there. Nothing compares anywhere else in the world, and that's the reason we're so fortunate to have Bill and his work represented on the show. Bill, the labor markets, another net decline of employees, right?
Right. We're just not getting any hiring strength yet from our small businesses out there. But no surprise, you know, if you look at the retail sales numbers that we get, nothing really happening out there. So we still have about 20 percentage points more of the small business owners out there saying that quarter to quarter, you know, last 3 months compared to the prior 3 months, sales are falling, not rising.
We're just languishing, aren't we?
Right, and there are two parts to that which are difficult. One is, of course, you're selling fewer units of things, but also price cutting is still pretty rampant.
Yeah.
So not only is the physical volume of goods or services falling, but the prices you get for them are also falling.
And that's impacting profits.
Exactly. You know,
and it's not just both kinds of profits, gross profit and net profit.
Yeah, we've seen in terms of profit trends, we ask again for a comparison of profits in the last 3 months to the prior 3 month period, and you know the number, and we look at the net number, that is the percent who say rising versus falling, and that number is minus 43. That means 43 percentage points more say profits are in a downtrend rather than an uptrend, and
yeah.
It's been that way, and that's the worst we've seen in 35 years.
And see the worst in 35 years, folks. And see, the thing is, Bill, there's a systemic intrinsic. What's the better word to use there? Long term impact of that. A lot of that discounting, Bill, is happening on the core products of some of these people. Meaning, there's now a new understood value, a new accepted value for these items. And because a lot of people don't have, too many people don't develop a discounting strategy that allows them to maintain the price of the price level of their core products, while still giving their customers a little something extra, and
right.
so instead of coming up with that strategy, they just cut their price, and that becomes the new value of that product.
And Bill, that's hard to get it back up again.
That's my point.
Especially in this environment. I mean, remember, we built the economy from 2003 to 2007 kind of based on a zero savings rate and credit, you know, no good credit underwriting. So the result was clear. We built, you know, 3 million houses that there's nobody to live in. We have too many strip malls, too many restaurants,
too many retail outlets,
you know, for a consumer who's now saving.
Right.
And we're in the process of kind of getting rid of that excess capacity now. You know, General Motors, of course, was saved by the government, so the government didn't let that that capacity get appropriately adjusted.
Right.
And spent, you know, $40-50 billion of our money to do it. But out there in Main Street, you know, we're not getting that help. So we're doing the usual adjusting here, and it's painful.
We're having to absorb those excesses back into the marketplace, including 17 million underemployed or unemployed people.
Right. I mean, we certainly have an excess supply of labor as well as space.
Capital spending is dropping again, and I was hoping that the year end might cause people to pick up the pace a little bit to do a little more capital spending to get some deductions. But I think that speaks to the profitability of companies. If you're not profitable, you're not paying as much taxes, so you don't need the deductions.
Exactly. We economists have studied capital spending for a long time, and one of the major determinants is profitability. We talked about that. There isn't any, you know, and cash is very important right now because this recession, of course, twice as long as the average and longer than most people thought. So you don't spend any money on any capital project or any equipment that you don't absolutely have to because you don't have a need for it. I mean, you don't buy a new delivery truck when you don't have customers to deliver to. So you're just not doing it.
Bill, what do you think is going to take to break this economy out? We're not in danger of a lost decade like Japan, are we?
Well, you know, it's possible. It could happen. I mean, right now there are a couple of, we have the regular recession kind of going on, and that's been difficult in keeping consumers, who are 70% of the economy, keeping them from spending money. But you also have everything that's happening in Washington. There is no good news for consumers or small business owners coming out of Washington. It's just tax, 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 regulate, regulate, regulate. So, you know, if you had any hope of or thought about being a successful business owner, making a little money, you know, Washington's made it pretty clear that they're going to take it.
There are two things we're going to talk about with Bill when we come back. Number one is the Fed. The Fed's meeting yesterday and today. We'll get Bill to tell us what he thinks they're going to do. Also, what's Mr. Bernanke going to do? And there's one other part of the marketplace that hasn't shown up yet. I want to talk to Bill about that. Tintel, stay with us.
Love never seems to last you.
When you wake up in we're back at 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for staying with me. Dr. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest. He's the chief economist for the NFIB. That's nfib.com. And Bill, your own website is smallbiz.org.
Smallbus, correct.
They can find your report there. You're very gracious to allow us to post it on our website, which we do every month. Thank you for that. You can also find this survey at nfib.com. And Bill, another thing I want to point out is that the Fed met yesterday in a meeting today. They're going to make a decision about interest rates, which I think we all know is not going to change. That's my opinion. I suspect it's yours.
I think that's everybody's.
But the language that they use, that's what may change a little bit. We don't know what they're going to telegraph. But there's actually probably not that much. But there's actually a bigger story going on right now, and that's twofold. Number one, is Mr. Bernanke going to be reconfirmed? Will he take the job? And number two, the Congress is trying to exert political control over an entity that for 94 years has, or so 96 years, has not been a political organism. What do you think?
Actually, that's a very hugely important issue that's kind of just sliding by in Congress because we're so focused on cap and trade and the health care, et cetera, et cetera. This bill, you know, were it to pass with the Ron Paul amendment, would really compromise the independence and the integrity of the
yep.
Fed.
It would put our national monetary system in the hands of people like Barney Frank.
Exactly.
God help us.
If we want to do something useful, we all should write our congressmen, especially right now the senators, and say to them, do not change the status of the Fed. Do not gut the Fed.
Right.
And that's really important.
Well, so speaking of gutting the Fed, will Bernanke be reconfirmed, and if he's offered the job, will he take it?
Well, I imagine that he'll be reconfirmed. You know, there are a lot of people who want to blame him for a lot of things, but when bottom line, I think he'll be reconfirmed. I'm not sure that after what he's gone through, he might want to just say, well, one term is enough.
I don't want any more cheese. I just want out of the trap.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so bless him if he is reconfirmed and he takes it. He's a glutton for punishment. Although maybe he'll think, you know, the dark side is now past and the sun is coming out and life won't be so bad on the upside. But I think we, you know, Greenspan found out, well, you can make as many mistakes on the upside as you can on the downside.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's, you know, it's risky out there. It's tough out there.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of wise heads that work independently there, and that's why we don't want to change the independence of the Fed. We don't want, for example, the Treasury Secretary to have control over Fed decisions that the Fed wants to make because they're concerned, say, about inflation. For example, you know, if inflation looked like it was coming back and the Fed decided to raise rates under the bill going through, the Treasury Secretary would be able to say, well, not now because we have an election coming up.
Right.
And that's really bad news.
Well, I'll tell you something else. What if Congress had some way of influencing the Fed or the president, either yeah. one, and they were opposite parties, and they used the Fed as a political football to influence elections.
And that's in that bill. They're able to get the GAO to do a so-called audit and call these people in and beat them up in public. And and of course, people love to use hindsight to beat you up, and that's
right.
just really so inappropriate.
Right. Bill, I want to switch over and talk about startups. Startups are MIA for the most part in this economy, largely because they can't get the credit that they have had access to in past recessions. I think that's going to be an interesting adjustment to the recovery landscape over past recoveries. What do you think?
I agree with that. You know, if you look at the jobs situation, which we're all focused on, the research has shown that the real oomph in the job growth comes from new firms starting. They hire lots of
right.
people. And most new firms are financed almost 100% with the personal assets and savings of the entrepreneur.
And credit.
Right. Well, the credit, of course, is not business credit, since you have no business
That's
to
right.
make a loan on.
Personal
banks
credit.
Are not venture capitalists, so
right.
you might have a great idea, but banks have no ability to decide that. So it has to be your personal credit. So it has to be the value,
yeah.
equity in your house, et cetera.
Right.
If you've already spent that in
right.
the last expansion, you don't have credit.
Bill, quick question. What's the average GDP going to be for next year, quickly?
Probably around 3%.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Thanks. I hope it's that good.
Thanks for being here, Bill. Quick break, folks. After the news, I'll be back. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.